But then my husband's saying that, so how is it there's less brachos on Shabbos, and my husband tries to be marked 100 brachos a
right.
day.
Right, 100%.
So the place
can,
okay?
No, the place can say explicitly that, that's exactly what they say. They said you're not allowed to do it. Even on Shabbos that you try to make 100 brachos, you are not allowed to go do that. Right, yeah, okay, so there's other etzes, there's other advice how to get the 100 brachos you have in mind with the 7 aliyahs. And
right.
shul,
so
but that, a person is not allowed to cause a bracha sheina tzricha for the purpose of getting 100 brachas. That's what the place can say.
I do have one more announcement.
Sure.
I have an open house for the high school with my daughter at 8:30, so I'm going to have to leave here about 15 minutes early.
Okay, no problem. There you go. It's 7:45 to 8:30. Okay, so last week we started, as some mentioned, we started the halachos of netilas yadayim, of washing your hands for bread. Not talking about yet washing your hands in the morning. Hopefully we'll get to that in a few weeks. But washing your hands for bread. So all we said last week was the two reasons why the Rabbanon, why the Chachamim made that enactment, made that mitzvah with the Rabbanon. Just to review very quickly, we said, is she on the phone? You want to...
That's the other, the house phone, Steve.
No, I'm saying Helene. The
no, not now.
Oh,
not
yet. Oh, she's not. No. Okay.
Oh, she didn't pick up?
She didn't pick up.
Oh, okay.
So we said the two reasons. One was based on, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, anyone who was a Kohen who was able to eat Truma, they had to have clean hands. They had to have hands that were Tahar. So we had to make sure that the Kohenim washed their hands when they ate Truma. Truma mainly is from bread. And since the Kohen had to do it, so we said that everybody has to do it, even if someone is not a Kohen, just to make sure that the Kohen does it. And we do it even nowadays, even though it doesn't really apply anymore. But just we say to continue now. Wanna?
We had Mrs. Strumeyer on the phone. She was
oh, okay,
to
sure.
Again.
Yeah, great. That was reason number one. And we said reason number two is just... We said that reason number two for Netilas Yadayim was what we called Nekiyus or Kedusha. Hi, we hear you. You hear us? Are you supposed to press mute?
No. She has to press mute.
Yeah, right, she has to press mute.
Oh, so
who wants to fix this? I don't know. Steve?
Oh. I'll call her on myself.
Hi, can you hear us now?
Turn off the mute.
Turn off the mute.
Yeah, turn off your mute. That's fine.
Can you hear us? Okay, so you have to turn your mute off, and we're going to let you listen. Okay, good, enjoy.
So reason number two was just when we're about to make a bracha of Hamotzi, so to have clean hands and to be more holy, to have clean hands when we make the bracha, that was the second reason for Netilas Yadayim. That was what we spoke about last week. So now we need to discuss something that Mrs. Sage raised last week, which is the following. How much bread does a person, or challah, or matzah, does a person need to eat to be obligated to wash netilas yadayim? And not only how much bread do they need to eat to wash, but how much bread does a person need to eat to be obligated to wash with a bracha? Right? We all know we make a bracha, asher kitchanu b'mitzosu v'tzivanu al netilas yadayim, when we wash for bread. So how much does a person need to eat to be obligated to make a bracha and to wash netilas yadayim? So the answer is the following. The Shulchan Aruch says that a person needs to eat the size of two kezias, two olives, in order to make a bracha on Netilas Yadayim. Now, how big is two kezias? So, just to give an amount, and it's perfect because it's amount in bread, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the only time you would wash with a bracha is if you take a standard loaf of rye bread, which is 2 pounds, the ones they sell in Kosher Connection, the middle slice rye bread, half of such a slice.
That's
okay? That is two kezias, according to Rabbi Banner. Rabbi Yisrael Pinchas Banner has a sefer that's called, you know, the Halachos of Kezias, and he has all different pictures of all different types of foods. And he says that that is a correspondent, and it's a good size to know in general. But for according to the Shulchan Aruch, you only make a bracha if you eat a half a slice of rye bread. Okay? According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, is based on the Vilna Gaon. Moshe Feinstein would never argue on the Shulchan Aruch, but the Vilna Gaon, he's allowed to. He says even half of that, even only one kezias. okay, which is even a quarter of a slice of rye bread, the middle slice of rye bread. So therefore, to be on the safe side, every time we wash, we should make sure to eat at least a half a slice of rye bread, that size, every time we wash, because we're going to make a bracha. Chances are you're going to make a bracha when you wash until this time. Make sure to eat that amount of bread. Now, usually, it's not a problem, because during the week, when do we wash? We wash when we want to have a sandwich, or you wash in the morning, you want to have something substantial, so chances are we're going to have a half a slice of rye bread. But it could be very pertinent, it could be very nogeya. First of all, let's say someone next to you is having a sandwich, and you just want to taste it. You just want to, oh, that looks good, could I have a bite? So if it's a husband or a kid, you know, so they don't mind, you take a bite. So you'll wash, and you'll make a bracha, and then you take a bite. So that should not be done, because you're eating less than that amount, so you should not make a bracha. What you should do is you should wash without a bracha. Okay? You should wash without a bracha. If you want to have a tiny, tiny, tiny piece of bread, you just want to make sure how it tastes. So you just want to make a tiny piece of bread. So we paskin, it's a big discussion, but we paskin that you wash, but without a bracha.
How would you bench?
You would not bench. If you eat a tiny, tiny piece less than a kezias, you would not bench. You would not bench. You only bench if you have the size of a kezias, which is a quarter of a slice of rye bread. Washing is one of the seven mitzvos midrabana. Yes. We discussed that last week, that washing is a mitzvah midrabana. No problem. Washing is a mitzvah midrabana. But we only required you to wash on a certain size. So the question is, what is that size? So according to the Shulchan Aruch, that size, that the full requirement is only if you have the size of a half a slice of rye bread. According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's a quarter of a slice of rye bread. So we paskin that even if you...
I thought that was Vilna Gaon.
Well, the Moshe Feinstein holds like the Vilna Gaon. Okay. Right. So we paskin practically, after all is said and done, even if you have a tiny, tiny piece, we hold that you should wash, but you should not make a blessing. You should not make a bracha.
But
yeah.
I have a question. Like, it's just, if you're eating like shalashadis and you're not really hungry.
Okay. So you should make sure, we're going to get to how much you need to eat during the meal, but you should eat a half a slice of rye bread. You're supposed to have two kezaisim to the size of two kezais. It's not a big deal. It's not a lot of matzah, or we're going to discuss how everyone is obligated to wash for shalosh shadis. We'll get to those halachas. Even women are obligated to wash for shalosh shadis.
That's a big segula.
Yeah, it's a big segula. Right. People think that there's a big segula in shalosh shadis. There's really nothing specifically shalosh shadis. It's, in general, of eating three meals on Shabbos. But you're 100% right.
No,
it's
that was to save you from the war of Gog and Magog.
Yeah.
Right, the war of Gog and Magog, right. Yeah, that's what it's brought down. Yeah, in general, yeah. But that segula is even for Friday night and for Shabbos day. It's for all three meals. But that is a true statement.
I have a quick question. When you say you wash without a bracha, that's netilas sedayim?
Right,
that's
regular netilas sedayim. Two on each hand. Yeah, hamotzi for sure. Hamotzi is on the food. Hamotzi is on the blessing on the food. Yeah, hamotzi you for sure say.
Okay.
Right. The halacha is, just as a sidebar, we to make a bracha, a bracha rishona, a bracha before you eat, a hamotzi, a ha'etz, a hadama, a shahakal, you have to make a bracha even if you eat a tiny, tiny, tiny piece of anything. You just want one tiny piece of something, one tiny little piece of a cucumber, anything, one tiny jelly bean, you always have to make a bracha rishona, no matter how small the food is that you need to eat. Okay? To make a bracha achrona, to make an after bracha, like Berachas HaMazon, or Alamichya, or Borei Nefashos, that is only if you have the size of a kezayis. And sometimes it's not clear. How big is a kezayis? How many cookies is a kezayis? How many jelly beans is a kezayis? How many cucumbers? How many slices of cucumbers are a kezayis? These are all questions that is not clear. So what a person should do is, they should either make sure they do not eat a kezayis, or make sure that they do eat a kezayis. So, meaning, don't, like in Rabbi Banner's Sefer, he says those regular, you know, those sandwich cookies, those Oreo cookies, he says 2.5 cookies are kezayis. So, you shouldn't have 2 or 3. You should have either 1 or 4. Okay? So then you know for sure you do not need to make a bracha achrona, or you know for sure that you do need to make a bracha achrona. My brother, one time, Reggie knows my brother, brother once went to visit a Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. And it was actually in a sukkah, and he came to the sukkah, and the Rosh Hashiva served homemade ragalach. His Rebbetzin had made ragalach, little small ragalach, and he served it, and she served it to my brother. And the Rosh Hashiva told my brother he could take either 2 or 8. That's what he said. He told my brother, I'll say it again. My brother came to someone's house and he served these ragalach that were very small each. And he said in Yiddish, you could take either two or eight. Meaning, because two is for sure not a kazayas, and eight was for sure a kazayas. But he's not allowed to take three, four, five, six, or seven. Because, so he did not take eight, that's for sure. But yeah, I don't remember if he took one or two. He probably took one because, you know, just not to embarrass everything. But that's halacha on the side as far as hilchos brachos, that a bracha rishona, you always have to make no matter how small you want to eat. You can't have pleasure from this world without making a blessing first. But after bracha, that is only if you have the size of a kazayas.
What
is
your cooking and your tasting?
Oh, excellent question. So when you say tasting, you probably mean that you do swallow a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Right. So if you swallow, you have to make a bracha. Okay, what the Shulchan Aruch talks about, if the tasting doesn't need a bracha, it's a big discussion when someone tastes something, they're making chicken soup and they're making something and they taste it.
Yeah.
So that is, we pass, and that is referring to where you just put it on the on your lips or on your tongue and you spit it out. That's a tremendous discussion. Therefore, you should not do that. You should avoid the situation and you should swallow it. And when you swallow it, therefore, you know for a fact that you need to make a shahakol or a mazonos or whatever you are tasting, but a bracha achrona you wouldn't make because you just have a little bit. That's obviously not a kazayis. How do we get to this?
Yeah. Raw batter.
Raw batter. So raw batter, what do you want to know?
Or
it's shahakal.
With flour.
Yeah, with flour because it wasn't baked yet. Because it wasn't baked. Well, it doesn't have to look like that. The only mizonos only has its what we call chashivos, its importance after it's baked, or hamotzi after it's baked. If it's raw batter, it's shahakal. That's a good question. Yeah, we passkin that. Yeah, you should be stringent and consider yourself fleishik in such a case. If that makes you fleishik, if you're tasting chicken soup and you just the liquid, not the chicken part, still we hold it. That makes you fleishik. Okay, so another case that this is so important as far as making sure that when you wash, we were discussing netilas sedayim, they only wash with a bracha if you eat, according to one opinion, the size of a half of a piece of a rye bread, and according to another opinion, a quarter of a slice of a rye bread. But where is that most nogeya? It's very important on Shabbos, because on Shabbos you have plenty of people that are eating bread or challah, even though they have no interest in eating challah. Let's say they're watching themselves, right? So you have a teenage girl who's watching themselves, not only a teenage girl, someone who's watching themselves, so they really have no interest in the challah, but of course they're going to have to eat challah. This is the Shabbos meal. So they just take a tiny piece of challah. But they made a bracha when they washed netilas sedayim. So that is incorrect. So again, during the week, normally when we wash, chances are we're going to have a half a slice of rye bread. Why else are we washing? We want to have a sandwich. So we said one example where you just want to taste something from somebody else. That's important to keep in mind. But it's even more important is on Shabbos, because you have a lot of people that really have no interest in eating the challah because, you know, they only eat whole wheat, and here they're eating by somebody that's not whole wheat or something like that, and they really don't want to eat, or they don't like challah. They're taking only a tiny piece, and that's a big problem as far as netilas sedayim. So therefore, a person needs to make sure to eat the amount of challah, and the amount of challah, that's a half a slice of rye bread, which is two kazayis, and, important, that needs to be eaten within a 4-minute span. Okay? Which is what we call kedei achilas pras. I'm not going to get into why it's called that, where that comes from, but that needs to be eaten within a 4-minute span, preferably right away, the first 4 minutes. So someone passes you, your husband or a guest or a host passes you a slice of challah, unless the person's very cheap, if it's a decent slice of challah, there will be two kazeisim in that. You eat it right away, you don't have to munch it down. You have 4 minutes, for sure 4 minutes, perhaps even a little bit more, and you eat it right away, and then you know everything, you're good to go.
Is there an Indian that you are not supposed to talk while you're...
You are definitely allowed to talk after you swallow your first little bit. You don't have to eat all two kazayas to first be allowed to talk. You're allowed to talk the second you swallow a little bit.
But you have to swallow first.
You should swallow.
Put it in your mouth.
So that's bidi evet, right? Until you swallowed a little bit, preferably you should not talk. You do not need to make a new bracha if you talked after something was ready in your mouth. If something was ready in your mouth in the middle of chewing, and then you talked, so once you've did that, you do not have to make a new bracha. But remember for next time. But preferably, you should swallow. If you talk before you even put something in your mouth, you need to make a new bracha. And if you heard hamotzi from somebody else, you need to make your own bracha. But if you talk once it's ready in your mouth, then b'di'evet, you still should not talk, but b'di'evet, it is okay. By sucking candies and gum, so we pass in that you're allowed to talk before, even you go right ahead and talk once you get a little bit of the taste. You don't have to swallow anything by a sucking candy or by gum. I think that's the only two things. But anything else, any other food, preferably you should swallow before you talk.
Well, we don't have any time issues with a sandwich. How come we don't have to do it?
Time issues with what? Well, okay, well, you should preferably eat that amount of the bread within 4 minutes. Yeah, you should. I mean, you don't have to eat the whole sandwich within 4 minutes, but that amount of bread, yeah, if you get a foot long thing, you don't have to, as long as you have that amount within 4 minutes. Okay? Right, that's an excellent point. We discussed that last week. Why were we discussing that? Right, as far as bracha shena tzricha. So if you go to a restaurant, you have that little piece of bread, so you take a tiny piece of bread, now you're allowed to talk. At some point, when the waiter or your waitress brings your sandwich, you should eat two kizesim within a 4 minute span. It doesn't have to be the first 4 minutes. No, again, it doesn't have to be the first 4 minutes. At some point, when they bid it 10 minutes, if you're in a good restaurant, it'll come within 10 minutes, you hope. At a 4 minute span, at any point, a 4 minute span. On Shabbos.
That's a good thing to clarify.
Oh, right. You could. Yeah.
On Shabbos, it has to be immediate.
It doesn't have to be, but it's preferable. On Shabbos, it's preferable.
All this rude lady waiting for the waiters.
Right.
It's
the restaurant, as long as you have that amount of bread within any 4 minute span, you're okay. It doesn't have to be the first 4 minutes. Okay? If it's going to help you as far as the halachas we spoke last week, as far as you want to take some pickles and coleslaw or some chips, and that's a bracha shena tzricha perhaps, definitely go right ahead. You make a hamotzi on those little pieces of bread by the washing station, and you do it with that.
But you can't have the pickles and stuff.
After you have the bread, preferably. If there's no bread over there, and you're really starving, and you really, really want it, so then we said last week that perhaps you could eat it, because perhaps it's not considered as if the bread is right there, because who knows when the waiter is going to bring it. Yeah.
Could you, on Shabbos, could you drink wine while you're eating that challah, that 4 minute challah?
Sure, you could eat whatever you want in between.
You could drink it while you're eating.
Drink whatever you want. Yeah, no, it's nothing like that. Right, no, not like you shouldn't have, you should get rid, because by Pesach, you have to have the taste of the matzah, and you shouldn't mix anything else with the taste of the matzah. Here, it's nothing to do with that. Here, on challah.
So why do you have to have it in 4 minutes?
Because that's considered the normal eating span. Kedei achilas pras. Any kazayis that we said, that you have to have 2.5 cookies or however much, that's within a 4 minute span. Mm-hmm. Within a 4 minute span. So if you have, let's say, jellyfish, it's 6 jellyfish, right? So if you have one jellyfish, then 10 minutes later you take another jellyfish. Tell me, you do not make a brona fashos. You could have 100 jellyfish. If they're separated within, and you don't have the amount of a kazayis within that shear, you do not make a bracha achron. It's very possible. You have, let's say, a bag of chips, a bag of popcorn, and you sit yourself down with a nice book or a nice sefer, and you take the pop, you make a bracha, of course, you make a bracha, you take a chip. A few minutes later, you take another chip. A few minutes later, you take another chip. A few minutes later, chances are you are not going to need to make a bracha achron, and you're not allowed to make a bracha achron, because within a 4 minute span, you have to have a kazayis. Again, it doesn't have to be the first 4 minute span, but within a 4 minute span, you should have a kazayis of food.
Rabbi Krum?
Yeah.
So I just realized that I actually do buy that Mizono's pita bread with the apple juice in it.
I never said there's such a thing as Mizono's pita bread, but okay.
No, so either way, so I would wash it up, so I've been washing on it.
Right, you should wash on it.
Right, right. So
it's really not Mizono's.
Why are they allowed to make it look like pita bread?
Well, pita bread is a meal food, so that's why it's hamotzi.
No, but just like you can't make with milk in it, and it has
that's
to look
milk,
different.
Right, because that's because milk.
So juice doesn't.
No, that's different, right? Now, to make milk
upset,
and bread,
like,
right?
Why are they
allowed to
make it look like pita? Why are they allowed to make it look like.
Right, to make it look
rolls
like.
Or whatever.
Right, because that's like, the way, right, no, but that's only as far as milk, because that's a big problem. Someone could be mistaken and eat milk and meat, and that's a big avera. But as far as the pita, they allow to make the foods however they want, and they just write Mizonos on it because they want you to buy it. Because make this way you'll buy it and say, oh, so convenient, it's Mizonos. But
the
halacha is you need
in terms of the size and everything.
Right, yeah, the same sizes, so it's just hamotzi. Yeah, same, true, that's hamotzi.
How do we know when we're supposed to make hamotzi when it's like not clear? Like, for instance, I have waffles that are gluten-free.
Waffles, we understand waffles to be a Mizonos.
But
yeah, anything that's made from the five grains and is considered like a staple of a meal food is considered hamotzi.
So that's what we consider. What does someone do with gluten free?
Well, what is gluten free means? What? There's no is there flour in there?
No.
No flour. So then it could be it's not even mezonos. If it's gluten free, it could be it's not even mezonos at all.
Right. Like the oh, so it's like.
Yeah, you have to look at the ingredients and see. If it's made out of corn, what's it made out of? Corn? Or
I don't know, like corn, potato, I think.
Oatmeal?
Could be. Oats is one
rice,
of the five
rice,
grains.
Flour,
right. So rice
so
could also
don't have
mean,
oats either, so it's
they don't have oats either, right. So then it could be it's not mezonos at all. But as far as a mezonos
so
or hamotzi, it depends if it's a meal food.
Gluten-free that looks mezonos, but
yeah.
It's not?
Yeah, so then it's then it, yeah, you still would not be mezonos. Yeah, it would be shahakol or hadama, depending on the ingredients. But as far as mezonos and hamotzi, spelt is one of the five, yeah. Between mezonos and hamotzi, which is what you touched upon, if it's a meal food, it's hamotzi. If it's not a meal food, if it's like a snack food, so then it's mezonos. And that's why the pitas, the paiskim say, are hamotzi. And that's why we discussed last week at some point about pizza, and that pizza generally is a meal food, and that's usually hamotzi.
What about like spelled crackers?
So crackers, it's an excellent question. Crackers is considered like a snack food. Now, someone could make it into their meal. They could put, spread jelly or tuna on it, but crackers are mezonos.
You know those pita bites?
Yeah, so...
That's what makes you watch on those.
Right, because it, there are those that say that if it was originally a pita and then it was broken down into smaller, so then it could be it retains its hamotzi. It's complicated halachas,
yeah,
but it could be it retains... So flatbreads, most people make mezonos on flatbreads because
yeah?
It's considered like a snack food. You could, again, you could make it into
you
your
make
meal. I make mezonos on flatbreads.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's basically the rule of thumb, that if it's a meal food, it's hamotzi. If it's not a meal food, it's mezonos.
But when you said the five grains? Or
the five grains.
Oh.
Rye, wheat, barley, rye, spelt, and oats. Okay. We didn't get very far into Tilsadan, but we discussed many important halachos as far as brachas. Brachas is really my special thing. I like Hilchos Brachos. That's what I teach in the Beis Yaakov. Mainly, I teach also these halachas. But anytime I could, you know, get off into Hilchos Brachos, you know, that's great for me. Okay. Where did we leave off? Okay, another halacha. If, this is important for feeding kids and grandchildren or elderly people, if you are touching bread, you're holding bread, and you are feeding somebody else, so who needs to wash? The one and the other, and the one who's getting fed is not touching the bread whatsoever. They're a child, they're an elderly lady. So the halacha is that the one eating needs to wash, and not the one who touches the bread. Okay, meaning if you take bread and you feed it to your children or your grandchildren or to somebody else, so then you do not need to wash, even though you're the one touching the bread. You do not need to wash, but the other person who's eating it does need to wash, even with a bracha. That other person does need to wash. If it's a child, so then it's a different issue. If he's a 2-year-old, obviously not necessarily going to make him wash. But it's saying if it's somebody who needs to be fed for whatever reason, an adult who's able to get up and wash, so then they need to wash, because it always depends on who is eating it. Not on the one who's touching it, but that's how we pass it, that it depends on who's eating.
No, I've been confused because I remember I once learned that like if there's nothing to wash with, then you have to use like the napkin.
Okay, we're going to discuss that. I want to discuss that.
So that's why you said his mom is touching the bread,
right.
To feed the other person.
Right, but so, here, but it's because they're not eating. In the case where you gave, right. Which I want to discuss, that's where that same person is eating it, just there on the road where there's no water.
Right.
So we're going to discuss that. But there, they're eating it.
Right.
Over here, right. So over here, the halacha is, it depends on, we have to discuss those halachas, sorry, is that how people take that very
just
freely.
No,
so, right, exactly. That's what we're going to get. Okay, so that's another halacha. Okay. The bracha, very important. We know, first of all, we know that you wash two hands, one, two on the right hand, and then one, two on the left hand.
Mm-hmm.
When do we make...
Jesus
says three? Okay, could be. Yeah.
Is there a special figure for how much water?
Yeah, so preferably you should do the size of a revius, which is anywhere between 3 ounces and 5.3 ounces. The more water, the better. The more water, the better that you can have. And each time, it covers a lot of the halachos that we're going to discuss that is doubtful, which we're going to discuss as far as touching other people's hands and these things. If you do a revius at once in each pour, you save a lot of trouble.
So are most washing cups considered?
Most washing cups definitely are
three,
the size
three
of a
what? Three
either three, anywhere between 3 ounces and 5.3 ounces.
Okay.
A regular plastic cup is 7 ounces, right?
Okay.
So definitely, you know, the most washing cups are bigger than that.
Yeah.
The bracha. Let's discuss the bracha, and let's discuss when you're allowed to talk while you are washing. A lot of people have a misconception about this, and I myself didn't know these halachas until I learned it. When do we make a bracha? Whenever we make a bracha on something, when we read the Megillah, when we like Hanukkah or Hadlakas Neros, preferably we need to make the bracha when?
Before.
Preferably we make the bracha before we do the mitzvah, or the act that we're about to do. Over here, by Netilas Yadayim, this is an exception. We do not make the bracha first and then wash our hands, right? I'm sure a lot of you know that. Why? Why don't we make the bracha first? Exactly. Because we are afraid that your hands are tame, and perhaps you scratched yourself wearing a covered part of the body above your elbows or your head or above your knees or something like that, where it is, makes your hands unclean. And it's not proper to make a bracha when your hands are unclean. Therefore, what we do is, first we wash our hands, two on the right and two on the left, and then we make the bracha. We make the bracha before we dry our hands. Okay? Before we dry our hands. Drying our hands is part of the mitzvah. It's very important to dry our hands because the water on our hands is somewhat tame, somewhat impure because it was on our hands. So the Shulchan Aruch says it's very important to dry our hands very well when after we wash Netilas Yadayim. A lot of people think that they are allowed to talk before they make their bracha. It is 100% not true. The halacha is that once you wash your hands, you are not allowed to talk anymore. You have to make your bracha. It is considered a hefsek, a interruption between the washing and your bracha. Right? No one would ever make a bracha and then talk and then take a bite of their apple. No one would ever do that. So the same way, when you wash Netilas Yadayim, you cannot talk already once you start to wash. Once you start to wash, you're not allowed to talk, even if you do not make the bracha yet. You're not allowed to say amen to someone else's bracha, and you're not allowed to even talk, oh, could someone pass me a towel? Oh, where's the towel? You're not allowed to talk anything once you wash your hands. And that's important halacha. If by mistake you do, you need to wash again.
Without a bracha.
Well, you didn't make the bracha yet, right? You didn't make the bracha yet. So you talked before your bracha. So what you need to do is you need to wash again. And then you make a bracha without any interruption.
Can you just explain the reason again why we don't say the bracha before? Because our hands,
because our hands are tame. We're washing our hands because we assume that our hands are tame, are impure, are not clean. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we can't, therefore, for that exact reason, we can't make the bracha first before we wash our hands, because we are afraid that our hands are not clean or impure, and it's not proper to make a blessing when our hands are not clean.
But we make so many blessings when our hands are unclean.
Right. Excellent question. It's a very good question. So, technically, if you know for a fact, now we always wash our hands after we use the bathroom, right? Imagine we all wash our hands after we use the bathroom, and then we say Ashi Yatzar. But if you know for a fact that your hands are not clean, and you want to go daven, or say brachos, technically you should wash your hands. Okay, it doesn't have to be necessarily with a cup in those situations. By netilas yadayim, by bread, it has to be with a cup. But when you want to wash, but technically to wash for davening, even women, the Vilna Gaon says you should even make a bracha. You should wash your hands before you daven. If you assume that your hands are dirty, and it's a safe assumption, if you change the diaper,
regular washing
doesn't have to be with a cup. Just turn on the faucet and make sure your hands are clean.
Make any bracha.
No, we paskin no bracha. The Vilna Gaon says you do make a bracha, but we paskin you
do
not
make
a bracha.
Unclean?
Sorry.
How do you make your hands unclean?
Scratching your head, putting your shoes on, touching above your elbow, touching above your knee, touching, you know, below your neckline, any part of the body that's normally covered, we consider that makes you dirty. And if you want, you don't have to go run and wash your hands, but if you want to go make a bracha, you want to go daven, preferably you should wash your hands.
And what's the, you can go like that?
Yeah, so that's if water is in, if you don't have water, if let's say my students ask me, you know, I told them this halacha, they said, oh, I just scratched my hand, can I go out and wash my hands? Unless she wanted to leave class. So if it's inconvenient to go wash hands, so then you are allowed to wash, wipe your hands on wood. I didn't let her out. I said, wash your hands on the desk. Yeah, you wash your hands, you put your hands on wood, or if you don't have wood, then, you know, on your clothes or your pajamas or something like that.
So
okay.
Why is it okay? You touched upon the Yekesh tradition that they wash
first
before they do,
right,
even do Kiddush.
Right.
So how can they wash and how can they make Kiddush? And you would think that would be allowed.
So that answer is that they already made the bracha on the washing.
Okay.
So now we have to discuss in Litvin Halacha, which we're going to get to, as after you said your bracha, and you wiped your hands, you dried your hands, everything. Now you go to the table to have hamotzi, or you go to your seat to have your sandwich. There, also, preferably, you shouldn't talk, but it's just good not to talk. If a person talks by mistake, they do not wash again. A lot of people think the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people think that, you know, you're getting around the table, oh, where's my seat? Oh, you talked. So you have to go wash again. You do not wash again.
Right.
Definitely not. The Shulchan Aruch says it's good not to talk before you make the hamotzi.
Right.
But it's totally forbidden to talk before your blessing on the Netilas Yadayim. You wash Netilas Yadayim, and before your blessing on the Netilas Yadayim, you talk. So that, and that's the way the Paiskim say it. A lot of people think just the opposite, but the truth is that that's how they write it. A lot of people think just the opposite, but the truth is that it is worse to talk between the washing and the blessing on the washing than it is between the washing and the hamotzi. Okay, so definitely you should not talk before the hamotzi, but if by mistake you do talk, you definitely do not wash again. You just stop talking and you go make the hamotzi, or you listen to the hamotzi. Yeah, a lot of people, I also thought it's the exact opposite, because everyone knows, like, you come back to the table, no one's talking. There, it's good not to talk, but it's not the end of the world. By the bracha itself, there for sure you should not talk. An important halacha based on this, which we mentioned, that let's say you realize, oh, I spoke before I made my bracha, so you have to wash again. The halacha is that you're not allowed to wash with a bracha if you know your hands are clean. Okay? If you know for a fact your hands are clean, then you can't wash with a bracha, with a blessing, because why are you washing with a bracha? Your hands are already clean. So now, when are my hands already clean? This situation. I washed, my hands are clean. Then I spoke. So now I know the halacha that I have to wash again. So how do I wash again with a bracha if my hands are clean?
Get them dirty.
So what you do is, you purposely get them dirty. You touch your shoes, or you scratch yourself somewhere, you purposely get your hands dirty. Now usually, this is not such a common case, because we usually don't talk. But a very common case, and I do this all the time, let's say you're about to sit down for a meal, whether it's Shabbos or during the week or whatever, but you just have to use the bathroom before you start, right? Or you're at a restaurant, before you sit down, you just want to use the bathroom. Before you're about to sit down for your sandwich, you just want to use the bathroom. So you use the bathroom, you wash your hands, you say Ashi Yatzar, and then you proceed immediately to wash for Netilas Yadayim. Your hands are clean already. Your hands are clean. So the halacha is that preferably you should touch your shoes or scratch yourself somewhere, then you know you are dirty, then you could wash with a bracha. There are some tzaddikim, I never saw anybody do this, but they say the Belzer Rebbe did this, that every single time he washed, he touched his shoes before he washed. This way he knows his hands are dirty. That's something extra. I don't do that. I've never seen anybody do that. That every single time they go wash during the week and on Shabbos, they purposely make their hands dirty. This way they know for a fact their hands are dirty. You don't have to do that. Chances are your hands are dirty and you're able to assume your hands are dirty. But like I said, if you know for a fact your hands are clean, you just changed a dirty diaper and you washed your hands, or you just went to the bathroom and you washed your hands, or this halacha that you washed and then you spoke, then you have to wash again. So if you know your hands are clean, so then the halacha is that you're supposed to make your hands dirty and go first. It could really happen to a person. Yeah.
I thought it was
the same
just
thing
for
on Shabbos, if you made a mistake, you would try to make your hands dirty again?
Right, the same idea. Yeah.
Is it halacha that you have to raise your hands when you say on
his? Yes. I was not going to get into that, because the reason why people raise their hands is a very complicated halacha. Maybe next week, hopefully, we'll see you in person. I'll explain to you where that comes from. I decided not to speak about that halacha because it gets very complicated where that comes from. Okay?
I have a question. I thought it wasn't just, you're not just actually taking off the dirt, but if it's more of a spiritual kind of...
There is a spiritual. There's two ideas.
So like then it wouldn't matter if they were physically clean.
No, but okay, but we assume that if your hands are already totally clean, then already you're on that spiritual level. And the truth is that the spiritual is just an extra reason. The main reason is to practically be clean in order to say a bracha to Hashem.
Okay.
So
the morning
is a different issue. The morning is a totally different issue.
Somebody's working outside.
Yeah.
Right.
But then they can wash their hands before they wash their hands. They can't wash dirty hands, I thought.
The what?
Can you walk?
Because that's as far as a chatzitza? Because that's, you have dirt on it?
Yeah, you have dirt on it.
Okay, we need to discuss chatzitza. I thought we would get to it this week, but then look how we're going to. But chatzitza, if you have dirt on your hands, that would really bother you. You wouldn't go out, you know, with that dirt on your hands. So then you need to wash those hands off before you wash. Excellent question. Yeah, you come back inside, you're working
it.
So your hands are dirty.
So
you,
it bothers you.
If it doesn't bother you, then it could be it's not a problem. Let's say dirt underneath your nails that... You would
go
out like that.
Well, let's say somebody's a gardener and dirt is not germs.
Right.
Dirt is dirt. It's not germy. It's not unhealthy.
So if it's on a minority of his hands, quite possible it's not a problem. If it's on 49% or less of his hands, it's
not possible. I can't be here next week. Somebody take notes, please.
Okay. Yeah. What about rings?
Rings. We have to discuss rings. I want to discuss rings. Yeah. God, until next week, take off your rings when you wash. Yeah, sometimes it's hard. So the halacha is, we'll just say, if it's very hard for you to get off, then, let's say in the summer or sometimes it's very hard to get off, so there is what to rely on that for Netilas Yadayim that you don't have to take it off. Because we assume that you're not going to take it off during the meal either, and that part of your skin will not touch the bread. Because it's not going to come off anyways. For band-aids, we're going to get the band-aids also separately, but for now, if it's impossible, it's better to get it off. And if you could really somehow manage it, it's better to do it.
Okay.
But if it's not possible, then
okay. I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay, so you wash your hand. You say the bracha. You go to the table. The other people are making their bracha. Could you say? Are you supposed to say amen to the bracha? Because
you're allowed to say amen to the bracha. You already wiped. You already said your bracha. And what? Yes, you're allowed to.
What's better?
No, but you're.
It's better. Yeah, say amen to bracha. Why not? Yeah.
But you didn't say you didn't finish eating your.
You didn't start hamotzi yet. You're still allowed to say amen. You should say amen. Only if you didn't make your bracha on your netilas yadayim, you're not allowed to say amen. But after you made your bracha and you dried your hands, you could say amen to other people's bracha. And
even though you haven't been your own bracha.
Exactly. Even though you haven't said your hamotzi yet, because there's netilas yadayim and there's the hamotzi. So between the netilas yadayim and the hamotzi, it's a good thing not to talk. But if you do by mistake, you don't repeat it, and you could definitely say amen to someone's bracha. Okay, let's just quickly discuss before we finish the halachas that you touched on. As far as, let's say you're on the road and you don't have water, or let's say you're traveling on the road, or you're on an airplane and the stewardess says don't let you get up and you want to wash. So what's the halacha over there? So if you do not have water, so let's say you have something else first. So let's say you have juice or soda. So the halacha is pretty gross, but if you have some other liquid, you should use those other liquids. The second best is soda, okay? Because soda is really water. Even better than that is seltzer. But seltzer and soda is second best, and third best is juice, okay? If you don't have anything, so the halacha, so the question is the following. How far do I have to travel to have water? Let's say I'm driving in the car and I have a sandwich. And the sign says, service area 13 miles. 13 miles, give me a break, I'm starving. So the halacha is the following. If it is on your way, it's as you're traveling, which service area 13 miles and you're driving down that road anyways. The halacha is, if it's within 72 minutes, you need to wait to get the water. You stop off at the service area, you'll be able to get water over there and a cup. And if it's within 72 minutes in your direction, then you need to wait, and you could and you should wait to wash over there. You could eat other food, but you should wait until to get to the water. If it's not in your direction, well, let's say you're just home and you have no water, so then you have to travel 18 minutes. Okay, 18 minutes. So if you go to the neighbor to get water, let's say the water is off in your house, you're doing construction in the house and they have no water. So I imagine you have some other drinks, but let's say you don't, whatever, you're somewhere. So you have to travel 18 minutes to get the water.
18 minutes by car or by foot?
So the Mishnah Berurah says it's by car, meaning it's not just, it depends on car. If you have a car, then it's pretty far. 18 minutes, you can go pretty far.
If you don't have a car, then it's
water. Then if you don't have a car, if you don't have access to a car, then it's water.
Why is this so stringent if this is... Rabbanon.
Because it is one of the strong derabbanon, meaning it's a full fledged derabbanon. A lot of times, what you're referring to is a lot of times we have a mitzvah that's only mid derabbanon, so we have many leniencies. The seven mitzvos mid derabbanon are strong mid derabbanon. They are full fledged mid derabbanon, meaning it's not just a minhag or something that we do in remembrance of the Beis Hamikdash or something like that. It's considered a very strong derabbanon. And therefore, the halachas are pretty strict. There will be some leniencies, but it won't be as strict as a din midairaisa, a Torah law, but there will be some strict halachas.
Okay.
So in a case where you really are very, very, very hungry, I'm not talking about where a person is going to die. A person is allowed to even desecrate the Shabbos if they're going to die. We're not talking about that. Chances are you're not somewhere where a person, you know, is going to die. But a person that is very, very, very hungry, then, and you don't have water, so then the halacha is that you are allowed to wrap your hand and not touch the bread. Not just simply not touch the bread, like just take a napkin and not touch the bread. You need to have your hand wrapped. That's what the Pesukim say. Preferably you should have your hand wrapped. So if you have a sandwich in a sandwich bag, you take the sandwich bag and you wrap it around your hand. Got it? If you have a glove, even better. But many times you're not going to have a glove with you. But if you have a sandwich, you wrap your hands with something, and this way you don't touch the bread. But as you pointed out, hold on a second, as you pointed out, the place can say that this should not be relied upon just, you know, oh, we're on a school trip, we're on a family trip, oh, you're hungry? Yeah, okay, just don't touch the bread. It's not like that. The place can say, if the student says, don't let you get up to, you know, to go to the aisle, to go to the bathroom, you wait. How long are they going to be there ready? 10, 15 minutes? I get, you know, if you're starving and you really, you know, sometimes on a plane you're sweating and you really need, and you need to wash and there's nothing else to wash. I mean, there's other food besides bread, but if you really, really, really need, so then fine. I mean, there's turbulence and they said you can't get up for the next half hour, you have to be in your seatbelt for the next half hour, so fine. And you're really, really hungry, so fine, you could do that. But preferably the best is to try and wait and to not rely on this leniency of not touching the bread. Okay, so Mitzvah Shem, next time we're going to talk a little bit more about the chatzitza, you know, the rings and things like that. We're also going to discuss washing in a bathroom, washing with plastic cups, and then we'll move on.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
I'm hypoglycemic, and sometimes I can tell when my blood sugar is starting to get down. Can I assume that I